Horror Stories Podcast. Good morning, everyone. This is Lawrence Simon of the 100 Word Stories Podcast at podcasting.isfullofcrap.com. Normally, you're going to hear a story by me on this feed, or maybe some advice on how Tom writes 100 Word Stories. But instead of that, well, let me just explain it to you. We do this thing called the Weekly Challenge. It's once a week, which is why we call it the Weekly Challenge, I guess. And it is a challenge. A topic gets posted up on the site, and then you guys have a week to write and record the story. This is the result. First up is Zach Mann. Let's hear what story he's brought to the Fun Palooza.
You should hire my client. He has starred in the live-action versions of several popular cartoons. He needs a stunt double, but not for stunts. He does his own stunts. You can get government grants, too, because he has a serious medical condition. I like your client, and I want to audition him. Although I am relatively sure a human with vestophobia may indeed qualify for employment grants, it is very normal for a feline tomcat to not want to wear clothes. I must admit, when my credit card bills come, I wish my wife had vestophobia.
Yes, I do too. In fact, I think all of us wish that. For some, if a genie were to appear right in front of me and say, "Oh, you get three wishes," that would be wish. Well, maybe wish number two. And if I definitely have to have the wish of more wishes. I mean, what's it? You know, you have one wish. I wish for more wishes. Okay, you have more wishes. Never understood that. Well, thank you, Zach, man. And I wish you a Merry Christmas. You see, if I wish you a Merry Christmas now, you have 9 months to make it merry. You have all that time to plan ahead. All these people who are wishing each other Merry Christmas in December, I'll just take the Christmas I can get. I don't have time to make it merry. If only someone had told me way back in March or April, hey, I gotta make this thing merry. Maybe I could have pulled it off, but right now I'll just be happy if it just happens. Next up, well, here comes the big reveal. Luke Poplin is revealing his true name. So I'm sure that this will make this a very special episode of Punky Brewster and Blossom, one of those crossover episodes. You know, you thought that only happened with Miami Vice or CSI. No, it happens here on 100 Word Stories.
Hello, everybody. This is Luke Poplin, otherwise known as Todd Spargo in real life. Now, last week I posted my very first 100 Word story. And it seemed rather silly for me to continue to use my second life name, so I think I'll use my real name from now on. This is my submission for weekly challenge number 255 with a prompt of Vestophobia. It's entitled Little Susie.
"No, Mommy, it burns!"
screamed Little Susie, streaking naked from the office, overweight nurse in chase.
"The psychiatrist said it was a Vestophobia,"
offered Susie's mother. "Nonsense, there's no such thing," said the doctor dismissively, the nurse returning with a tranquilized Susie. Susie's mother frowned as the doctor removed the tranquilizer dart and dressed Susie in the pink dress and patent leather Mary Janes she had supplied. "Now, we just bring her back slowly," said the doctor as he administered an injection. Little Susie blinked her eyes open, looked at her mother sadly, and disintegrated into a pile of ash.
Ah! Well, that's definitely not a commercial for Gap Kids. Yow! Well, thank you, Well, okay, now I was going to say thank you, Luke, but I guess I'm going to call you and say thank you, Todd. Now, this might put some pressure on Danny. I'm not sure. Maybe he might. No, no. People are welcome to use whatever name they want, as long as... Well, okay, all right, let's... You don't want to use the name of somebody else... Unless, you know, it's all in good fun, you know, at least once a year we do a Guy David weekly challenge. Hey, this is Guy David doing the weekly challenge hosting. Lawrence and the midget are busy fencing, but they use baguettes from the bread store, you see? And he's going to hate me now. Please don't hate me. Okay, you can hate me if you want. Hate me with all your rage. Well, scratching the back of my neck here, I can tell that it's almost haircut time. I'm going to wait till Tuesday. You see, the problem is with haircuts is that, okay, the place that I go, it's normally $15. And on Tuesdays, it's $12. But I always wind up giving them 20 anyway. So if I go on Tuesday, it costs me the same, but more of it, I can pretend, goes to the person cutting my hair. And then the store owner turns out to be the person that's cutting my hair. So, I don't know what the deal is. I just know that I'm spending 20. I think more of it goes to the person who owns the store than the chain they franchise it from. I think that's the case. I'm not sure. Maybe they... I don't know if they pay more taxes or... It's all so confusing. I just want to give them 20 and just run like hell. Maybe I need to just shave my head. Anyway, thank you, Todd. I don't know where all that came from, but wherever it is, let's just tamp it down and put a lid on it. Next up is Tom, and this isn't any advice about how he does 100-word stories. Instead, this is on the subject of vestophobia, of which I believe he's an expert.
Hello, night people. Tom here, and tonight's story is called They Make the Man. Lucas Pendergrass had vestiphobia. It was triggered by a tragic collision between a leisure suit and a purple tunic. Scarred young Lucas for life. If the DMV inspector hadn't been a Brahmin, it's doubtful Lucas would have passed the test in a bedsheet. 5 years later, Mr. Pendergrass was once again favored by the gods with the same DMV inspector. He and his bedsheet were now the proud possessors of a Class C license. Lucas became an ultra-long-distance trucker. Slept, ate, lived in his cab. When he died, his only request was to be buried in the buff.
Hey, that's my final request, too. Thank you, Tom. And hold on. Hello, Boo. Hello, Mr. Boo. Hello, Bruin. Oh, are you Mr. Sad Kitty? No, you're Mr. Happy Kitty. Yeah. 2 years ago, I went to Jonathan Colton performing at House of Blues and came back after midnight. And it was raining and it was awful. And I looked in the bushes and there was this black kitten. And he shrieked, all abandoned and, you know, peeking out, like, looking out. And I was like, whoa. And so I went back inside and said, I need a towel, and I grabbed a towel and went back outside, grabbed the kitten. Kitten, you know, didn't mind being picked up and wrapped in the towel. And sure enough, that was Bruin. Well, he didn't have a name for the first day. I wanted to call him Boo. But Gina said, no, Bruin for Bruce Wayne, because his ears are so freaking huge like a bat's. And, you know, and that's him. You know, warts and all. I don't think he has any warts, though. He does have, you know, he still has a little bit of a hitch to his left back leg every now and then. But, you know, poor little guy, he got his ass runned over. But he's going to be okay. He's a good boy. And 2 years. 2 years of Nardo being tormented by you. Poor old man. No, actually, Nardo headbutts him now to get him to groom his ear as it used to be. You're rocking my head. Now it's, you know, oh, please, bump, bump. You know, when he sees him grooming, he said, no, me first. So, all right, man. What a 2 years. 2 freaking years, Bruin. Wow. Yeah, with a good baby panther. All right. Next up is Robert. And I think this is Nothing But the Truth by Boomer Bob. So here we go.
Hi, I'm Boomer Bob, and this is called Nothing But the Truth. He held the truth once, and he knew it. At one time, he had held it close, caressed it, and put it deep into his pockets for safekeeping. No matter how hard he tried to conceal it, he held the truth. Last night, he checked his pockets to make sure it was there. It wasn't. His worst fears had come true. The truth wasn't safe anymore with him, since his fear of the naked truth had left him fearing ever being clothed in it. And now he wonders, how can he bear it?
Ah, ha, ha, ha. How can he bear it indeed? Actually, I'm wrapped up in a blanket, so, and there's stuff under the blanket, so. And there's Bruin here on the sofa with me. He's just laying and being a restful kitty. Yes, you are. He's got his lucky collar on. I posted a photo of him up on the fence on the main site. So not that it's much, not that I ever write much there anymore. Those days are long gone, I guess. That has been my insignificant thoughts are really much on Twitter these days, as if I have time for that, too. I'm just, you move on. Almost, what, over nine years of blogging on various sites. What has it accomplished? Nothing. The world is now slightly more radioactive. Oh, well. Thank you, Robert. Next up, Justin the Space Turtle missed last week by, well, he said he had written a story, and then he didn't record it or send it in. But I believe he sent in last week's story and this week's story. So, yay, clap your hands together and drool with glee. Here is Justin, the Space Turtle. Let's see if he does a narrow thing.
Space Turtle. Justin Lomester here with my 100-word stories. I decided I'd read last week's, which I forgot to send in. And I also included Happy Place because I didn't write a story for that, so I got a lot of topics squished in there. Read that one first. I sit in the tattered remains of my happy place, the tiny corner of the shack. I look with dismay at the corpse of my pitiful mother. When she wasn't beating me with twisted wood, she practiced witchcraft. She said it was to feed us, but I know she only craved power. I watch the tiny imps possessing the marshmallows scoot around her body, making trails in the floor wax Mother forced me to keep pristine. But the protective wax will make it easier to clean Mother's fluids from the wood. I banish the imps with bittersweet tears and start scrubbing. Now for, I think it was Festophobia, something like that. Charles stared at his white cotton shirt and pants, the only clothing whose touch didn't terrify him. His crotch turned yellow and wet. The smell of urine wafted up to his nostrils. He started to itch all over and hyperventilate. His skin. It was going to tear off his skin. He pictured it getting pulled back, revealing muscle and bone. An unearthly scream crawled from his throat like a spider. Something grabbed him and pulled, and then he opened his eyes to see someone had dragged him out of the rack of pink sweaters he had fallen into at the store.
Thank you, Justin. Good stories, but I'm not sure that babies gibbering with glee and squealing kind of goes with getting skin ripped off. I just, not to be critical or anything, but it just is, I'm not sure about that. I don't know. Maybe that works for some people, but I'm taking 5 points off. I'm sorry, I'm taking 5 points off. Where do I take them off of? I'm not sure. Where do I take them off of, Bruin? And he rolls over on his back so I can pat his tummy. Oh, yeah, with you and your stretchy feet. Yeah, who is a good boy? Yes, I'd love to rub on your tummy because you're so happy. Yes, and you never bite and you never claw. Yeah, okay, maybe you grab every now and then when you're asleep. But you are a good boy. Good boy. All right. Speaking of good boys, here's Danny and his story. I wonder what he's got.
Hello and welcome to Danny Dwyer's entry for Weekly Challenge 255, which is Vestophobia. I've titled this Vestophobia Advice You Should Avoid. The convertible quickly pulls up to the drive-through window. Dr. Jared is waiting. Welcome to Jared's Psychology Hut. Please, state your name and problem.
My name is Elliot Hunt. I'm scared of clothing. Now I'm charged with indecent exposure and called a sexual offender. What do I do?
Dr. Jared replies, yes, couldn't help but notice your erection. You need to calm down and be less happy to see me. Fear of clothing is called vestophobia. Here's the cure. Imagine what your life will be like when you know that you are not defective. Now put some fucking clothes on and be grateful your mother didn't name you Mike. Next, please!
Oh, thank you, Danny. I needed that. After surviving... Okay, here's what Infinite Jest sounds like before I burn it. I've been reading that stupid thing since, well, before October. Doing a few pages here, a few pages there, and maybe give it up for a few days. Been barely reading any other books. And I gotta tell you, I do not recommend this book. And I've been given a David Foster Wallace collection of short stories. And a short story from him is probably like 300 pages long. You know, no. And this book was thick. Thick. The punctuation, he had sentences that ran on for 2 pages. No. You know, and there was shit, you know, I'm sure that, okay, by the time I got to the end, it was like, okay, what the fuck? You know, what are you doing? This is the opposite of what a good novelist does. And I should ruin it. I should spoil it. You know? Killing a character that you don't give a flying fuck about, that you hate and despise and sucks, and you think this deserves to... What? No, you're supposed to identify with, get the person to identify with the character, and then, oh, the tragedy. You're not supposed to rah, 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 ooh, kill him. That's bloodthirsty. Although that's pretty much what most action movies are about. No, I'm going to spoil the fucking novel. It's a tangled up, fucked up mess. That's what it is. The sentences are too thick, and I'm sure that there are scholars out there that say, you are a Philistine. You have no taste. It's deeper, and you have to go into the footnotes and read those footnotes judiciously and back and forth and back and forth. Dude, there's a reason why this dude blew his fucking head off and overdosed and all that shit he did. He's a fucked up mess. First thing he should have done when he had pen and paper was stab himself with a pencil. Oh, sorry. He was a well-respected professor. Bullshit. By the way, back to the 100-word stories weekly challenge. Speaking of well-respected, we have Terrazabyte. I have no idea what his name is this week. It scares me somewhat, wondering what it's going to be. But here it is, with all its glory. The Story by Terrazabyte.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Dr. T Show. I am your host, Dr. T. I bring to you the 100 Word Stories podcast, weekly challenge number 255. This week's topic is Vestophobia. It's never a comforting time when we go visit the in-laws. They both suffer from Vestophobia, which is a fear of clothing. I understand when they tell us that clothing makes them feel nauseous and claustrophobic. The problem I have is that this fear supposedly extends to the clothing that others have on when they come over to visit. I have tried to be open-minded to their phobia, but it's becoming difficult ever since we gave them that video camera last Christmas. Now when we step through the door, I feel the lights go up and Grandpa yells, "Action!"
Okay, maybe I was wrong about needing 9 months to plan a Merry Christmas. All you need is a video camera and someone with Vestophobia. Thank you, Dr. Okay, what are you this week? Dr. Trazabai? You see, the problem is if I say, from now on I'm calling you Bob, that's what you're going to go by. So I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to call you Bob. I'm not going to call you Boo either. God, you are just laying there. Yeah, oh, spread the back feet. There you go. Yeah, that's your way of saying, oh, I'm happy. See, it's already 8:37, so I've got to get my walk in, probably get about an hour, hour and a half, and then I've got to get downtown. I actually did buy ticket to Blue Man Group. It's not the best ticket, but it's still a ticket, and that's going to be cool. So they were like, hey, let's see if any single seats are up front. It's like, nope. And they looked at me strangely, like, single seat, huh? Are you a Blue Man stalker? No, I tend to do things alone. I don't do things in groups. I'm very selfish and egocentric and egomaniacal and a little autistic, and I just do it. I mean, this thing is sort of like with people, but through a filter. So it's on my terms. So, yeah, Blue Man Group. So it's been 11 years since I last saw them. I'm sure that they're a totally new Blue Man. I mean, they're like Smurfs. I hate Smurfs. There are a few movies that I want to see, too, so I may see them this week. You know, when I'm trying to save up money for something. And just, yeah, that's how it works. All right, let's get Norval Joe in the can here and keep on rolling. So, Norval Joe, blow those pipes.
Hello, this is Philip Norval Joe Carroll of the Flying Island Press, and this is my entry for the weekly challenge number 255 with a prompt of Vestophobia. Here's my story. Jeremy lay as still as he could in the sweat-sodden sheets of his small bed. His slow, shallow breath sounded to him like a hurricane. He knew they had to hear. Slowly, he turned his head just enough to look from the corner of his eye at the chair by his desk. His turtleneck sweater hung there, a faint outline in the oblique glow of his nightlight. It raised a limp fabric arm in greeting and smiled razor-sharp teeth and licked its blood-red lips. Jeremy lay as still as he could, his heart beating madly. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Ooh, scary piano. Thank you, Norval Joe. And thank you, scary piano player. Always something new. I'm just going to keep petting your tummy here. Yeah, it's kind of hard to type with. Yeah, because I'm petting you. Okay, let's get your chinny chin. Oh, you still got that bump on your chin. You need to stop scratching at that. I'm going to put some goop on there, okay? Yeah, that's why I keep the... Neosporin in the drawer here. Yeah, oh, you don't want that. You don't want that. No, now you're rubbing that spot. You have got to calm down. Oh, sorry. I'm sure this is terribly exciting for you folks. It's already 25 minutes into the show. Don't have many stories in this week, but, you know, stretching it out with petting a cat and scratching him. Getting right under his little chinny chin. Yes, we got a little chinny chin. And speaking of who's got a little chinny chin, TJ, and his podcast has turned two as well. So he's rounding up all the reactions. And I may have sent one in, although I may have been a little unclear on the concept. Let's hear what's going on up in North Dakota. I think they've finally gotten their temperature above absolute zero. So, the tapes are rolling.
Hi, this is TJ. I am from North Dakota, where even if we do set the clocks ahead by an hour, it's still 1953 around here, and this is Jaybird. One of the greatest bat villains to grow out of the world of groovy counterculture was Jaybird, a dastardly ne'er-do-well who would enter a crowded bank lobby or shopping mall and with a rip, foom, gawk, get naked. Jaybird would mug for the cameras, grab all the loot, and then the dazed witnesses were unable to describe what they'd seen. The Caped Crusaders would then chase after Jaybird. Get back here, my vestophobic chum, but without any luck. Network censors were appalled by this character, however, and forced Julie Newmar to keep her clothes on. Thus, Catwoman joined the cast.
To Wong Fu, thank you for everything. Okay. Thank you, TJ. 1950, whoa, that's a long time. It's like Back to the Future, I guess. Maybe even, no, before Back to the Future. Oh, my Lord. There was stuff back then? Yeah, I know, it's rude to yawn, but man, this whole daylight savings time thing, and that dog barking last night, and Mr. Boo being all happy. I'm posting up a photo of him laying on the sofa. I'm going to try to get one of him all spread, you know, all spread out and happy. Yeah, who just got his back toesies. The thing is, in the photos, you can't see his front paws doing a twitch every few seconds. He does a little flipper flippy. Yeah, oh, you are such a good boy. Yes, you are. It's become the Boo Cast. Yeah, it's the crazy, crazy cat guy and the Boo Kitty. What? Now you're doing another flopsy. Okay, I'll get a photo of you in a second. I'll snap the photo while playing the story by Steven the Nuclear Man. How's that? You see, if someone lets me know. Hey, I'm going to be a little late. Sure enough, I'll wait. Maybe a little late doing my walk. I got to pick up some yogurt. And I probably need to bring an umbrella with me. It's not looking too good out there. So anyway, here's Steven's story. Enjoy.
Steven the Nuclear Man here. I have a tiny bit of background for this week's story. It's set in the world of the Crimson Pact, an anthology that will come out on the 20th of March. You can find out more about the anthology, read the first story for free, and submit your own flash fiction for the second volume at thecrimsonpact.com. Also, musical attribution will be posted on my blog. The senator glared at me. Why is the enemy combatant naked? Those hippies already hate this place. I stared back. Your fuse is closed, Senator. My squad mixed with the Senator's blue-suited toadies. We don't know why, I lied. Simmons handed the jumpsuit to the Senator. too late, the prisoner yelled behind soundproof glass. Hidden threads, woven into holy symbols, touched the senator's hands. It screamed in pain. Moments later, my squad stood over the demonic corpses of the senator and his aides. The enemy combatant shifted between human and demonic form. "This'll be fun to explain," Simmons said.
"Actually, it would be fun to explain. Folks, in 100 words, explain." Okay, I'll wait for you. Or you can just do that over at the Crimson thing that Stephen mentioned. The site that I really should write. I keep saying it every time. I should write something for it, and I don't because, man, work sucks. Oh, well, life goes on. Ha! Ooh, thank you, Stephen. There's one more story this week, and I wanted to mention something. If you look at the show notes, you may see that Danny's story says 110 words. Okay. It's up to you to judge him based on that. The name of the podcast is 100 Word Stories. Now, his story was 110. He said, "I can't get it down anymore." The challenge to all of you out there, be Danny's editor. In the comments, try to knock out 10 words. Let's see if you can do that. I just want to see. Oh, and one other thing before I inflict Planet Z upon you. 4 more sets of magnets went out. Mailed them this week. So we'll see. There's one more. There's one more rectangular. There's a bunch of the circular ones that no one ever liked. But the person who wants the last one, you can get all but like one of the circular ones. And I'll keep that circular one so it'll be like buried with me or something. That way someone with a metal detector will wave it around. And, "Woo, whoa, there's something under here." And it'll wind up being, you know, a crappy magnet. So, anyway, here's Planet Z. Don't say I didn't warn you.
"It seemed like a good idea at the time. Spread a virus that makes people deadly afraid of their clothing. Then spray the cure for the virus on his own clothing line. He'd corner the market in clothes. Yeah, he tried to do things legit, but feather boas and bell bottoms were out. Damn the fickle public. Now they'd be in, and everything else would be out. The day he released the virus, it took a while, but pretty soon everybody was wandering around naked. And they liked it. Never wanted to go back. Well, okay. They like the boas."
Well, folks, that's it for this week's weekly challenge. Number 255, Vestophobia, Fear of Clothing. I want to thank everybody who is part of this podcast, the authors, the people who record the story, who usually are one and the same, but sometimes somebody slips a story to someone else just to throw a curveball. That's okay. Maybe one day, maybe for the 6th anniversary show, I will challenge people to team up with their fellow weekly challengers. Maybe that'll be a true challenge. The buddy system. Yeah, that'll work. So, anyway, and if you do want to do that early and practice it, go ahead. I won't mind. And maybe make me guess who actually wrote it. And embarrass myself, which I do week in, week out. Why would that be any different? By the way, if you're tracking my weight, it went out of control. During the winter, and then my excuses and picking out, it went back up to around 210, and now I'm struggling back down to 208 now, and it's the usual wobble, so I'm on the roller coaster. I screwed up, but I'm doing the sit-ups now. I'm doing them now, and my tracking chart is back up on my site, so you find the link and, you know, my weight, you know, my Facebook, my weight, my this, my that, my, Marsha, Marsha, Marsha. God, I should shut up now. But anyway, let's all say happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Mr. Boo. Yeah. Although it's not really your birthday. It's your birthday. That's when we called you. You got the new name, Mr. Boo. Happy now? Yeah. I posted up a photo of him flopped with his tummy in the air. So he's all happy. The next weekly challenge, I think the topic is warped. Stay tuned. There will be some How Do I Write 100-Word Stories by Tom, More Awful Stories by Me. And Saturday, there's going to be storytelling at Storyfest in Second Life. Wednesday, the usual crap that I do at 5. And I'm going to get ready to head out for my hike and pick up some yogurt. So I'll see you then. Until then, thank you for listening. And as always, keep it brief. Closing.